Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our predicted lineup for Aston Villa v Chelsea. If you are new to our channel, make sure you are subscribing, smash a like, and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. Joined by Hannah, how are you doing?
I am very, very well. Thank you very much.
To be fair, I've recorded the opposition preview today with a Chelsea fan, and I actually feel really bad because on there, like, they're asking me, like, how, because I've been on their channel and they come on ours. So we do, like, a, you know, handover at half time. And they're, like, asking me, like, how I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, buzzing. And they're like, and then when they're on ours, they're like, we're shit, we're doom and glooming. And I'm like, I feel bad because, like, we're so good and they're so crap. But that's just the way it is, I guess. So, Hannah, talk to me how you are feeling as a Villa fan right now.
I'm feeling like this is easily the best, like, few months, 6 months of being a Villa fan that I've ever had. I'm just absolutely ecstatic at the minute. I feel like we had like a weird phase at the turn of the year where I started to get a little bit worried that perhaps, you know, the season wasn't going to potentially pan out the way we wanted it to. But in the last few weeks, I feel like we've seen again a bit more of that like fighting Unai Emery Aston Villa spirit that has really kind of spurred me on for the last bit of the season. We're now in a semi-final of a European competition. We are top four with, I mean, a bit of wriggle room as well before Spurs play again. It just feels surreal. I can't remember if it was after the Lille game or if it was after the Bournemouth game, maybe even the Arsenal game. It was one of them in the last 10 days where I was in the WhatsApp group afterwards, like, how is this my football team? Because, like, growing up, you know, you're at school and you're talking to people who are like Man United fans or Liverpool fans or even in the Midlands, you know, that most people were Villa fans. So we were kind of like constantly in comparison to teams that were doing so much better than us, and it never felt like we were going to have that break again of like, oh my god, are we ever going to see as like younger fans a really good Aston Villa side? And just thinking back to like the last sort of even like 4 years, what a roller coaster it's been, and to for it all to accumulate now to this team where I feel from the footballing side, the manager, the players, the success on pitch, I feel so connected and so excited by this team in a way that I've never been in my footballing lifetime. So I think it's such a good time to be a fan. And one thing that makes me really happy is going to the games at Villa Park and seeing so many younger kids there that are really excited. They're in their full kit and they're seeing, like, this is the first Aston Villa side that they're going to remember, you know, being young kids. And what a privilege it is to be this one when we're doing so well and we're starting this next generation of Aston Villa. So I think the atmosphere and the vibe is just very positive at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, even imagine being a young kid now, like getting through them school gates, sticking your chest out and being like, yeah, I'm a Villa fan, like fourth in the league, like we're smashing it. So I imagine for like young kids, they must be absolutely like loving life. So fair play to the little Villa kidders out there that are like loving life as well. So big news. And I feel like we've got to talk about it all week because it is huge news. Unai Emery, contract extension, 2027. I mean, we chat daily, you know, we chat daily and we weren't fazed by talk of Emery going, but it feels big that sort of like the wider football space can sort of get a bit of a better understanding because they don't really tend to listen to what's going on anyway. So it sort of gives them a bit of a sense of, oh, okay, he's staying. So thoughts on Emery?
Well, when that news came in this week, it was, to be fair, I think, like you say, I don't think we were feeling particularly worried about him leaving, but it's obviously started. I think it started like after the Arsenal game when obviously it was kind of like a landmark game, a landmark performance. All the rumour mill starts up, doesn't it? You know, he's going to Man United is going here, there and everywhere. And I think, to be honest, it didn't faze me because I felt quite comfortable that, you know, he has everything he needs at Villa at the minute. We're about to hopefully qualify for the Champions League for the first time in, well, the European Cup, in whatever form it's taken for decades. So for us to be in that position, he has all the resource and all of the potential and the opportunity to do what he needs to at Aston Villa. So I wasn't too fazed, but I think just seeing it in writing this week, the confirmation has been, again, such another boost, because it just means going into the summer, there's no uncertainty. We can just be so excited for what's to come. And knowing that he is as committed to this, you know, if you can still call it a project, this project, as the fans and the players are, I think it goes a long way. And again, touching on the players, you know that they're going to be playing football, hopefully for Unai Emery next season, as long as they stay at the club and they perform well. And that's an incentive for them as well. You know, like, who's not going to want to play for Unai Emery now? He's totally won over the dressing room. He's totally won over the fan base. So it's such a big boost. And I think, you know, in the 12 plus months that he's been at the club, I feel like we're still seeing his potential grow and get better and better tactically. And I think, who knows what we could see from him in a Champions League setting. I can't actually contemplate that we're going to potentially play.
Yeah. I mean, whatever European competition we're in, we're not there to make up the numbers. I think that's clear of whatever we get to. Champions League, you know, we're not there to just compete in it. We're there to try and win it. That's not being ridiculous. Like, he got Villarreal to the semi-final of the Champions League. This is the calibre of the man. And every time this manager goes into Europe, he's doing well. He's succeeding. And that turns us on to, you know, the Olympiacos game. And, you know, how are you feeling ahead of that? Because we finish off with Chelsea this weekend and then we go straight into this Europa one. You know, it feels like we've only just sort of, I can still sort of like see Emery Martinez making that save. And now I'm talking to you about the semi-final. Like, so how are you feeling about that? Do you think we're going to make the final?
I feel like, I don't want to tempt fate, but I don't see us having as difficult of a game as Lille gave us. I think they were genuinely a very, very good side, and we did well to get the win in the end against them. But I don't want to get ahead of, I can't get myself too confident about it, just because obviously it's knockout football. You actually have no idea what the outcome is going to be. I think, obviously, again, same as it was in the quarters, it's going to be so important for how the first leg goes next week. It's the quick turnaround that gets me. You kind of think, all right, phew, let me just take a minute to recover from that trauma of extra time and penalties. And then you're right back to it. You're buying the tickets and you're making your plans for match day. It's you don't get rest. But I think at the minute, that's really suiting us. The kind of stat doing the round this week has been teams in the Premier League that have played the most games, the most minutes, and obviously Villa were in the top, the third or the fourth team in that kind of league ranking. So we're doing that, but we're still maintaining a level of performance that's keeping us fourth in the league and going deep into the European competition. So I think it's actually suiting us at the minute to kind of keep the games coming. Whether we're on a winning run, which, like we are at the minute, and it kind of, the confidence is building and growing, or sometimes, you know, if we've hit a little bump in the road, I think Unai and the players really just constantly want to get back out there and rectify and see how we can better ourselves. So I think we are managing at the minute with the kind of quick turnaround, and hopefully it's exciting for the players as well, because most of them that we have now, we've kind of had for quite a while. Some players that Dean Smith brought on board, and now they've kind of taken Aston Villa to where they were probably sold that we would be going. You know, when the owners or the previous managers brought them in, it was, you know, Aston Villa are going to be a European team, and that, you know, at that point it probably felt like quite a distant hope. But you know, they're there now, and they've taken us there, so it should be a massive confidence boost for them. and a real incentive that going into these last games, it is they're like cup finals, aren't they? Emi Martinez always says it. He's the king of playoff football. He's a great person to have in that dressing room. So he'll be saying in the next week in the build-up to that first leg against Olympiacos that, you know, playoff final, we absolutely have to win this. You leave everything on the pitch. And I do think that's what we'll do. And like you say, Unai Emery doesn't go in these competitions to just, you know, mess about. He's here to really flex his managerial muscles, so to speak. And I think we really do see the best of him in these situations. So I'm hopeful, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself because, you know, we saw what happened last week and it was horrible. And I don't want to go through that again in the semis.
Yeah, and I think something you mentioned about like Villa in Europe is that the worst Villa this season was when, what, February, January, when we weren't playing in Europe. And I still stick by this, is that Villa are better when we're playing in these close games and we're sort of like rectifying things and we know that there's no time to settle and there's no time to sort of just think, basically. And I think that's huge.
Because if you think back to, like, I'd say our best spell of the season, minus maybe where we are now, was kind of around that time that we played City and Arsenal in the space of 3 days. And we just had like the run in the group stage of the conference. So, you know, it totally backs up your point that probably 6 week spell, we played so many games, but we were absolutely phenomenal and we got the biggest results of the season.
Yeah, definitely. So next up then we've got Chelsea. So I'm just going to run through a little few things on Chelsea on what we can expect, and then we're going to predict the lineup. Something that I've just thought while you were talking is about Chelsea's system, and they're a little bit similar to the way that Lille play with their midfield three. So as you can see, this is their heat maps for the game against Arsenal, which obviously isn't a great representation of Chelsea because they're absolutely useless. But what you can see is that their fullbacks like to get high. You've got a double pivot of Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez. Gallagher is that player that will sort of drift and move around a little bit. And then we've got Madueke and we've got Madueke and Jackson. So if we go to the tactical pad now, I've added some players who I think are going to come in to the Chelsea lineup, but this is their average position against Arsenal. And what you can see against Arsenal is on that left-hand side with Mudryk and Kukurea, Arsenal were able to pin both of those back. So in essence, what they want to do is they will move Conor Gallagher into this advanced area. We'll have Cole Palmer coming inside. Gilchrist will be adding width on that right-hand side. And then you'll have Mudryk or Kukurea also getting forward as well. So they tend to like a four across that front line. And then they'll leave that sort of two at the back. One of them might be coming back and holding as well. Build up, they tend to not use Thiago Silva through goal kick, so it's generally him that will be in a vertical line with Petrovic, who sort of, this doesn't really work too well with their build-up. But what I'm saying about that Conor Gallagher, it's a little bit like that Haraldsson role. Remember against Lille, there was that player that sort of drifted on that left-hand side to make up and help out with their wingers. But what you'll also see is Cole Palmer will start in that front three with Mudryk, Jackson, and Cole Palmer will be in that three. But Cole Palmer will be drifting inside and Gilchrist will be offering the width. Gusto looks like he's going to be out for this game as well. But the big thing to note about Cole Palmer is that Pochettino gives him license to move around. And this is why Cole Palmer is becoming a big threat this season, because he's the player that's able to sort of pick up and move around and drop into whatever pocket he wants to drop into. So that's why we're starting to see Cole Palmer getting loads of goals, because he's got so much license to move around. So in essence, that's what we can expect for them. If Cole Palmer's back from his illness, then he's going to be a player that we need to really watch out for. No penalties, because he scores a lot of penalties, but we've got Emi Martinez, who's pretty good at saving penalties, and he wasn't far off from Solanke's penalty either. So, Hannah, predicted lineup then from a Villa point of view, it's pretty much going to pick itself to a certain extent, But the interesting point that we made on the match preview with Chris Wokes, and if you've, nobody's watched that, make sure you go and check that out because it's absolutely fantastic. England legend talking about Aston Villa gives a real good insight into a dressing room. And I think I asked him a real good question to be honest. I asked him, how does it feel to be in a dressing room when it's buoyant, it's winning, and there's a real good feel factor? And he answers that question. So hopefully that will give a good picture and paint that picture of how the Villa players are feeling at the minute. So defence, I think, pretty much picks itself with Moreno being out. So it's going to be Luca Dean, Pau, Konsa, I imagine, and Cash. Question for you. Does Louise come straight back in the team?
I had a feeling you were going to ask me about this, given the fact that we've had two very good games without him. And I think when he got that suspension so late on in the game, I can't remember which one it was like, oh, for God's sake, you know, we're going to miss Louise in really important games. But you know what? We've been really good. And I think it's such a testament to one, Yuri Tielemans, who I think has been excellent. However, you know, I do think you have to pick your best team. We're in the final run-in. I think you have to pick your best team. And Douglas Luiz is still going to be our best midfielder in that defensive position. So for me, he does come back in. Mm-hmm. But like you say, I think it is something that you have to think about because we've done well without him. And I do think perhaps in the kind of run-up to his suspension, he probably had a couple of off games. But he'll definitely he'll be wanting to come back in. He'll have that hunger. Obviously, has played a part in the European games anyway. So he's definitely going to be fit and raring to go. So I would stick with Douglas Luiz.
Yeah, he will be fit and he will be raring to go. So the other sort of little question then, question mark, is to do with the other player that's probably going to be playing in this team then. So Watkins up top, Bailey out wide, McGinn obviously plays. Is it McGinn with Watkins or on the left, or is Rodgers in there, or is Diaby in there? What other player is going to be in this side?
I think it has to be Rodgers. I think he has seriously impressed me the last month or so. I think what's really worked for him is having the run of games. He's obviously kind of got lucky in the fact that we've had injuries and suspensions elsewhere. And when he first came in, I think everyone could see the potential, but it was just, you know, not quite had the Premier League sharpness. Obviously, it's such a big jump to adapt to the Premier League. But now he's had that run of games. I think he's really been impressive. I thought he was so good against Bournemouth. So I think we have to keep playing him whilst he's in this good form. I think we really value his physicality. He's quite similar to Watkins in a way. Watkins's hold up play, I think, is very good. And I think Rodgers is actually becoming very good at holding up the ball. He has a quality that I'd say not many of our attacking players have in terms of, like, he really can carry the ball from our own half and just drive forward, which is something that I think we really valued in Jacob Ramsey and missed when he was gone. So I would stick with Rodgers. I think, obviously, Diaby got his goal at the weekend, which was great. But, again, I think starting with the players that are in the best form is just what you've got to do at this stage of the season. No doubt Diaby will come on and get minutes, but I think Bailey and Rodgers together with John McGinn, I feel like that's such a handful of a few players with Bailey's technicality, John McGinn's just pure bullish tenacity, and Rodgers' hold-up play and some of his footwork as well. Put that behind Watkins, and to me, I think it's a very, very strong attacking four.
Yeah, I look at this team and I love it. I just love it. I think it's great. I think it's got everything that we need. I think it can beat Chelsea. The one thing I'm going to say, and this is what I'm going to say to start with, is the fact that I know we're getting a lot, it's rightly so, we're getting a lot of people saying and being a bit cautious, saying like, oh, you know, like, we've got to beware of Chelsea now. They're a wounded animal. Like, they're going to come. And that's fine. But how many times can you say this about a Chelsea team? Like, how many times are they going to have to go again, raise their levels, improve on the game that they've just seen? Like, they're a mess. They're an actual mess. And for me, in this game, I don't care what Chelsea do. It's all about what Aston Villa do. If we apply ourselves in the correct way and bring the right intensity, we win this football match. The biggest area that we've got to make sure that we are fully competitive in is that midfield area, because Chelsea like to press a lot. We saw them against Villa at Villa Park. The Chelsea Pochettino press was very, very good. But if we can live with this midfield, we can make it difficult. If we can start to get on top of them, if we can make it a real uncomfortable night for them and not allow them to get in areas that they want to get to and expose us in. You know, the big areas that they're going to try and look to expose Villa in is if the line is a little bit higher, you're going to have Jackson running in behind. You're going to have him doing a little bit of movement. You're going to have Cole Palmer moving into those areas. So as long as this midfield gets the grips on Caicedo, Enzo and Gallagher, then I think we've got players that can push Cucurella backwards. Mudryk, we can push him backwards. And what I'm seeing from Chelsea and what I saw against them against Arsenal is there's no confidence. Like, Sterling comes on, his weight of passes off. They're not a team that can fight together. They're a bunch of individuals. And if it's going okay, they'll be okay. And you saw that when that penalty incident where Jackson wants it, Madueke wants it, but then Jackson can't finish his dinner in a 90-minute game. And I think that's just showing what they're all about. It feels like they're all in it for themselves. And when I've used that word intensity, I want that from, like, the crowd, the players. I want us to just swamp them and be all over them and not let them breathe. And I think if we do that, we can beat this team, because playing out from the back as well, whether it's Diassi, whether it's Badiashile or it's Silva or whoever, you can expose them at the back because they're not comfortable, and we've just got to make it really difficult for them. So how you, after me saying all that, how are you feeling about this game? Are you as confident as me, or are you a bit more cautious?
I completely agree, first and foremost, with everything you said. Like, you know, everyone will say you've got to be cautious. Like, you know, you've touched on about teams that have just took a spanking, because you always think they're going to rebound and put in a good performance. But you know, the record shows that Chelsea just aren't doing that this season. They, you know, they'll have a few games and you think, oh, you know, this is kind of what we're expecting, you know, Pochettino's Chelsea to look like. And then the next week, it's very quickly back to, you know, absolute dross. And they, I think you've hit the nail on the head perfectly with the fact that they are individuals. I think what they are lacking is what we have in abundance. And it's that team spirit, that collective quality, whereas they are just, I think there's a lot of players in that team that believe their own hype and that know that they're good players, quote unquote, but are just kind of there because they wanted a big move. And I don't think they really believe that the team can do it or that the manager's got the ability. So I think I'm going into it quite confident. I think, why shouldn't we be confident into this game? We've got the quality on the pitch. We've got the momentum. We're at home. Everything is kind of on our side and in our favour. The pace of their attacking players is the only thing that really bothers me and concerns me, because, like you say, especially Palmer in that roaming role, he's going to be a handful. But in general, I do think that, you know, we should be able to deal with that. We've come up against much tougher teams at this season than Chelsea and have come out on top. So I think it's all about mentality, like you say, crowd getting behind. Just absolutely, if we can get an early goal, I think they don't have morale, they don't have a good mentality at all. And to an extent, they've got nothing else to play for this season. Yes, if they stronger run together, they could probably, you know, delusionally think that they might get a European competition, but I just don't think that's going to happen, not with other teams that are already in and around that space in the table. So I think their season's pretty much over. We want it a lot more, and we saw and have seen in recent weeks how much that goes, a long way in a game when you when your team want it. So I am feeling confident, and fingers crossed that the team that we've chosen are the ones that can get us the 3 points. It'll be massive.
If you are new to our channel, make sure you are subscribing, smash a like, and comment your thoughts in the comment section down below. We'll have an opposition preview that will be out on Friday. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.